I had planned to do something a little different this morning, but we're going to save it for another day. It was a video lead into the sermon, but we'll do it again sometime, and you'll enjoy it. You'll be looking for it now every time that I stand up to preach. All right. This morning, Carol said, "What are you going to preach about?" She always asked me, "What are you going to preach about?" And I said, "Well, this morning, I plan to ramble." Now, those two terms can kind of contradict each other. But my plan this morning is to ramble. We'll be looking at a text in Titus chapter 2 and verses 3 through 5. Titus chapter 2 and verses 3 through 5. Years ago, there used to be one of the very first soaps, I think, that came out was I Remember Mama. Anybody remember I Remember Mama? And I'm not sure if they were Norwegian, they were Scandinavian, because they would, you know, Mama would always say, "Ja." And I never remember seeing Mama without an apron on. You know, I'm concerned that sometimes we preachers feel a pressure of special days and end up preaching in the process sermons that are really not relevant to those in our audience that we're addressing. In other words, we end up preaching to the choir. This morning, I want us to spend our time dealing with where we are now and not what we were 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. As I look around, I see a lot of gray hair. A lot of gray hair. And I think it would be a mistake for me just to address a message to young mothers, and Lord knows you need it, with two or three children hanging on you. But I want us to share something deeper than that this morning and spend our time dealing with what it means to be a mature, godly woman. Let's read in our text, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Paul is writing to young Titus to encourage him and help him as he deals with his first church as a pastor. And in that, he's telling him that he needs to speak to some things and to speak sound doctrine. First of all, he says, to the older men. And then, beginning in our verse, he says, and older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaving to too much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Let's pray together. Father, in these brief moments that we share, I pray that your Holy Spirit empower your word and drive it into each heart and life, that you'd have glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text speaks of older women. Now, I'm pretty comfortable with that here, aren't you? We have some older women. Now, I didn't say old women. I said some older women. In the church, we have some ladies who are really one of the most powerful influences in the cause of Christ. And as you answer God's call to be a godly older woman, then you can make a difference. One of the things I hear older people say is, well, you know, I'm old and I can't make a difference anymore. Let me tell you just a few things from our text. First of all, as Paul begins to speak to young Titus, he says, tell the women that they are to be reverent in their behavior. In other words, he says, tell them to be something. To be something. You know, you may get to the point where you think you're out to pasture. And I can assure you that you're not. You're still called of God to be something. And the word that's used is reverence. You see, it's all about who you are in the Lord. Who you are in the Lord. That's where the term godly comes from. And so we want to think this morning about the description, first of all, of a godly woman. First of all, I want you to know that you are the personification of love. That means you embody all that God intended love to be when he used that word agape over and over and over again, the kind of love that is always putting the interest of others ahead of your own interest, and that kind of love that makes a difference in people's lives. You literally are to be love. We think that love is a verb. Love is a noun. It's something that you are. You know, when you're young, you look at girls differently. Right, guys? I'm going to take a minute and get us all in trouble. And you look at girls and you say, ooh, she's something. Well, girls, I know you don't like to be looked that way, do you? The truth is, in the sight of God, ladies, you are to be something. You are to be God's own love in the church, in the family, in the society, in the world today. If a person needs to know what the love of God looks like, they ought to be able to look at a godly older woman. A godly woman is also a joy-filled woman. A joy-filled woman. Now, I'm not saying the kind of person that just acts like they have no sense and they just smile and everything. I'm talking about true joy. Joy in the heart that can't be defeated by hurt. Joy in the heart that can't be defeated by any kind of pain and anguish. Joy in the heart that remains because the Father of joy inhabits that heart. A joy-filled woman. Joy just bubbles out of you. Do you remember when we used to sing the little song? And I used to do it with children in Bible school before they got into all the calisthenics and dancing and stuff, where we would just have divided this group of children and this group of children. And one would sing, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And I'd say, where? And they'd say, down in my heart. Women need to, first of all, be filled with love, and secondly, they need to be filled with joy down in their hearts. Joy, does that mean you don't cry? Does that mean that you don't mourn? Does that mean that you don't weep? Does that mean that you don't hurt? Absolutely not. But what it does mean is that the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ deep inside you lifts you up and you conquer those things that work against you. Description of a godly woman would have to include the fact that you bring calm and peace to life. And that's simply the truth, because the Lord Jesus Christ is your peace. Have you ever seen someone that a glow just seems to surround them? I have to tell you a quick, cute story about that. Scared everybody in the first church that I served in Ohio. Scared them all to death. We had a cancer survivor, and she had lost all of her hair, and she was proud of it. And I mean, she had a head like a cue ball, and that was fine. I think she shined it. And she was a great friend of Carol's and mine. One night, the ladies for the whole association had a retreat at our church. And they were probably 60 or 80 ladies in our church sleeping on the pews. And she got up sometime during that period and went back in through my office to a bathroom. And when she came back, the light from the window shone on her. She was wearing a white nightgown and had that shirt. I mean, the ladies thought there was an angel among them. You know, there's a glow that follows a lady who is at peace with herself and with her Lord. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Jesus said, "In this world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And it's that very peace that the godly woman possesses. The godly woman is also patient. Have I thought about that for a minute, this business of patience? I don't know how many of you would claim that virtue, but if you did, somebody sitting beside you would probably say, uh-uh. That's not what I'm talking about. Patience is the kind of thing. I had a grandmother that was a godly woman. And much of this, as I prepared it, I thought of Mom. And one of the things that she would do to be patient with us, and we were children, and Linda would tell you the same, is when we would do something and it was not quite right, she would say, "Now, that's really, really good, but let's try again. And let's try again. And let's do that again." Never ran out of patience, no matter what kind of mess I made. Let's try that again. A godly woman is one who is wrapped in kindness. It touches everyone that you meet. Do you want to know if a person is kind or not? Look in their eyes. Don't look at the smile on their face. Look in their eyes. There are kind eyes, aren't there? And that wells up. Someone has said that the eyes are the windows to the soul. And if your soul is filled with kindness, it will come out through your eyes. A godly woman is a woman whose goodness actually is doing what blesses and is right because of Christ in her life and living out his life in her. She just does what's right. A woman of goodness. A woman of goodness. That's a quality that you don't see a lot. It's a quality that blesses. It's a quality that is always right, but right in a kind and gracious and loving manner. And it blesses the Lord. A godly woman is a woman who is faithful and steadfast. And no matter what, she will stick with you. Through thick or thin, we always say. We always joke, some of the guys, and we say, I got your back. I got your back. But I want you to know something. A godly woman has got your back. Got your back. And there's no one that will speak badly about you in her presence. She's faithful. She's steadfast. She's a woman of great gentleness. Great gentleness. Her touch is gentle. Her tone is gentle. Even those times when she needs to correct you, it's done with a gentle spirit. And a godly woman is a woman of self-control. She's a woman of self-control because she is God-controlled. Say, preacher, where'd you get all that? Well, if you look in Galatians 5 and verse 22, what I have laid out for you is very simply the fruit of the Spirit. And a godly woman will bear the fruit of the Spirit in every part of her life. Secondly, the call to the godly woman, to the older women, was to teach and to train, where mindset encourage, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, their children. That word encourage literally means to train them. Do you know how you train someone to do something? Have you ever had to train something? Now, some of you guys are the same age as me. And when we were in school and Elvis Presley was on every picture that you saw, all of us wanted to grow one thing. What was that? And a DA. We all wanted a DA. I want you to understand that your hair just naturally doesn't grow like a duck. And so it takes training and it takes work. And you have to continue to brush it and brush it and brush it and brush it to train it. And the call to the godly older woman is to train up these younger ladies. And the best way I can think of training is to put your hands on their hands. The passage says, teach them to love their husbands and their wives, their children. And that's the first part, and you have to get that right. And nothing happens until you do. Secondly, it's be sensible. It says be sensible, and that means more than just good sense. That means doing what is the sensible thing, and it means being accountable for your actions. It says train them in purity. Train them in purity. Do you know how you train someone in purity? You model it before them. Have you ever heard somebody say to you, well, don't do as I do, do as I say. Do as I say, don't do as I do. Ever heard that? Next time somebody says that to you, look them square in the eye, smile big, and say, If you don't do it, don't tell me to. If you don't do it, don't tell me to. And it's just very simply a fact of modeling purity. He encourages the older women to teach them and train them to be homemakers. My grandmother had a word. Anybody ever hear the word gallivant? That's an old-timey word. I don't even know if it's in the dictionary. Doesn't make any difference. It's a good word. And it means run around like a chicken with your head cut off. You know, people gallivant. They live their lives with no purpose. And the passage says, older ladies, teach them to stay at home, to work with their children, to encourage and uplift their husband, not to be out gallivanting at every brand new store that opens. Passage says that you need to train them to be kind. I have watched this, and it's the strangest thing how it works. Carol has taught three-year-olds since, I won't even say, honey. And I have seen her time and time and time again take a child's hands, a child who has just slapped another child, kicked another child, bit him, hit him, and drug him across the floor. And you know what she says to that child? She gets their face in her hands so that they're looking at her, and she says, now, that wasn't kind. That wasn't kind. And now, for my part, you know, I know what this is for. But she would say, that wasn't kind. And you know what I would find in her class by the end of the year? The worst bully in that class would be saying, Mrs. Scott, was I kind? Expect the very best. It says to teach and to train them to be subject to their husbands. Boy, and I know a lot of women don't want to hear that today. A lot of women today are liberated. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Liberated women. You don't have to be tied to the sink at home. And on and on and on it goes. But the thing is, you're free to be something, not free to be a big nothing. You're free to be something. I want to tell you just a quick story about being subject to your husband, and then I'm going to close. My grandmother and my grandfather, Mom and Pop, were probably 40 when he surrendered to preach. Pup didn't go to church, and Mom was a godly Christian woman. And she didn't nag him. She didn't push him. She didn't throw his clothes out of line. She didn't do any. She just simply lived a godly Christian life in front of Pup. One night she was going to a revival service at their church, and she was getting dressed to go, and Pup came in and started to put on his suit. And she said, well, where are you going? He said, well, I thought I'd go to church with you. Put on his church, he went to suit. Never went to church, and he was gloriously saved. Mom said that she knew he was saved. Pup loved cigars. And she said she knew he was saved because when they came home that evening, he opened up the fireplace grate and threw his box of cigars in. Several months later, Pup felt God's call on his life. And it was affirmed. He He laid out a fleece. He said, God, if this is truly what you want, let somebody else tell me. And it wasn't more than a day. And someone from the church came up and said, Howard, God's laid it on my heart that he's dealing with you to preach the gospel. Pop surrendered to preach, and my mom and our aunts went through all of that goes on when your husband goes back to school. And the point is simply this. My grandmother couldn't have pushed him into it. My grandmother couldn't coerce him into it. My grandmother would have never argued him into it. She simply lived in humble, loving submission to her husband. The last part of the passage says, never let your actions bring dishonor on the word of God. Older women, I want to thank you for what you are and who you are. And younger ladies, I challenge you to live up to the legacy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've shared in your word. And I pray, Lord, that it might make a difference. Your word should make a difference in lives. I pray that through your Spirit it will. I pray that you do what no preacher can do. Lord, touch hearts and touch lives. Draw people to the cross. Bring honor and glory upon your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand quietly, prayerfully. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I won't drag this out for a long time, but I think that every time that the Word of God is proclaimed, people need to have opportunity to respond to it. This morning, I don't know what God may have laid on your heart. I know there's only one place to settle it, and that's at the feet of Jesus. I'll stand here in the front, and I'll help you if I can, and that's fine. But if you come down this aisle this morning, you come to Jesus. And it might be that for the first time in your life, you want to come and say, Lord, I don't think I did so well. But I want to be a godly woman. God, will you help me? Might be that you want to come and for the very first time in your life say, I've tried all that stuff and I can't do it, and I simply need to surrender my life to Jesus. Whatever he's laid on your heart, I invite you to come. Come to the cross. Our praise team will lead the hymn of invitation. You step out and come.